Tonight, we want to bring a final message on the subject of heaven. Heaven, the home of God's redeemed. And as announced this morning, we want to speak on the road to heaven. We've been looking at much of the glories of heaven, what it's like and so forth. And now we want to understand that there is a way to heaven. There is one way to heaven. And you maybe have guessed the text that I want to draw your attention to tonight. It's found in John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 6. The road to heaven, how can we know the way? And each title that we've given throughout the series, we've asked a question. And that's the question tonight, and it actually is found in our reading. Now, I'm going to go back to the previous chapter and read some verses from the close of John's Gospel, chapter 13. You will know that when the Bible was written originally in its various books, it was not written in chapters and in verses. That came much later. It came through the translators and the editorial work. In fact, some as late as the Reformation period. And so sometimes when we think of a beginning of a section or a history, we have to go back into the previous chapter. And so chapter 14 might better commence with verse 31 of chapter 13. And that's where we're going to read from. You get the picture. I would love to preach on this sometime. We've never preached on this table talk that the Savior had with the disciples. And it begins here. They have gathered for the Passover. We've had the institution of the Lord's Supper, and Judas has gone out. He's gone out from the disciples into the night, which really is a description of the spiritual state of Judas. And now we have the Savior entering into personal, intimate conversation with his 11 disciples that remain. And these are words of encouragement. They have been a blessing to God's believing people ever since they were written. And I trust even in the few verses that we read tonight, you'll be blessed. Verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come, so now I say to you." So you want to get the connection, obviously, from what we're reading now and what we go on to read in chapter 14 as the Lord seeks to encourage the disciples in a time which really was a time of despondency for them, because the Lord is now speaking about going away. Verse 34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Simon Peter said unto him, "Lord, whither goest thou?" Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." Peter said unto him, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." I believe that Peter meant that. He meant it with all of his heart. But he didn't know how distrustful his heart really was. And though he says this to the Savior, we find the Savior in verse 38 giving an answer to him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." And now we come to chapter 14. The words are, I'm sure, particularly for Peter. But they are for all these men that are sitting around the table, and they are for us. And so Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that last verse that we've read, verse 6, is our text tonight. As we think of the road to heaven, how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We'll bow together just for a moment, please, and seek the face of our God in prayer. Almighty God and everlasting Father, we thank thee for the words of our Saviour in this portion of John's Gospel. We thank thee, Lord, for the scene, for the occasion, for the intimacy of these words. We thank thee for heaven and for the way to heaven so clearly defined in what we've read. We praise thee tonight that many in this building have come to the Saviour. They have taken the way and they're saved. But others among us know not the Lord. And we pray that what we've read tonight will be a challenge to them, as well as a blessing to your people. We thank thee that the message of God is a message that brings strength and grace to the hearts and lives of the people of God on earth. And we know, even through this reading, we have been blessed in our souls. But the message of God here is also a great challenge to the unbeliever. And we pray for them now, those here in the building, those listening in on sermon audio, that the Lord, by his power and in his mercy, will arrest them just where they are. Give them grace to sit up and listen, to hear what God is saying through the word. May the word be applied by the Spirit of God, for without thee we can do nothing. O Holy Ghost, come and work in every heart. And help this preacher to bring the message for Jesus' sake. Amen. Just as Jesus Christ is about to go to the cross to lay down his life for his people, knowing everything that was before him, knowing that very shortly Judas would come to the garden and give him the kiss of betrayal, knowing that all the disciples would forsake him, knowing that Peter would deny him, knowing all that he would face as far as the suffering and the shame is concerned, he speaks words of comfort to his disciples. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. He calls them to trust in him, to confide in him. And then he turns their attention to heaven and home, calling it here, as we know, the Father's house, where there are many mansions. He spoke of his departure from them, something that undoubtedly saddened their hearts. I go to prepare a place for you. He had spoken about it in the previous chapter, in the words that we read, that how he was going to go away. But they were not to be downhearted. They were not to be dismayed or to allow their hearts to be filled with anxiety. For although Christ was going away, he would return again. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Believers would then be with Christ forevermore. Having set the happiness of heaven before them, he shows them the way to it. Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas interrupts the Saviour with a question that we have read in verse 5. In fact, first of all, there is a statement from Thomas when he says, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And then there is this question that follows, how can we know the way? Jesus has just said to him and the other disciples, the way ye know. He had spoken about it. It ought to have been clear in his mind and heart, the way. And yet Thomas is coming in with this remark, how can we know the way? You see, Thomas was always slow to believe and understand. His mind was dimmed and cloudy. And yet this question that he asks is a vital question. It's the most important question that any man or woman could ever ask. As we think of eternity, as we think of heaven, the dwelling place of the redeemed of God, as we think of being there, here's the question that is of vital importance. How can we know the way? And it's a question that has been asked ever since. Asked here 2,000 years ago by the disciple Thomas, but down through the centuries of time, where the gospel has been preached, where the truths of the Bible have been declared, and where heaven, the eternal hope of the redeemed, has been set before any congregation, or where any man or woman has sat down for themselves and read the scriptures, this question has been asked in tens of thousands of hearts. How can we know the way? The Savior is gentle, and he's patient with his disciple, and the slow-heartedness here of Thomas in particular. And he gives the answer in our text. Jesus saith unto him in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Perhaps this is one of the most powerful statements in the Word of God. The fullness of this statement can probably never be comprehended by the mind of man. Dear seeking, searching soul, in this service tonight, it may be for some time, perhaps even years, you have been seeking and searching for the answer to this question. You've heard the gospel many times, perhaps. Heaven has been set before you. You've been brought to consider the real issues of eternity, and this question has been asked in your mind and in your heart. How can I know the way? And you think of that place that is prepared for the redeemed of God. How can I get there? How can I have my sins dealt with, because it's sin that keeps us out of heaven? How can I know pardon with God and forgiveness of my sin so that one day I can go to heaven? You've been seeking and searching in vain, perhaps, until this moment. Well, look no further than the answer given by the Savior in our text tonight. We have taken you these Sunday nights into the realm of the life to come. We have brought you to the Father's house. We have showed you some of the glories of that place. We have unveiled the beautiful city where there are many mansions reserved for the children of God. We have examined the inhabitants of heaven, who will be there. We have thought about the activities of heaven, what we will do when we are there. We have thought about the happiness of heaven, the bliss and the joy of being in the presence of our Savior forevermore. We have also thought about the rewards that will be given to the people of God. And we have contemplated a little about what we will be like and how that we will also recognize one another in the land that is fairer than they. I wonder, as you've come, you've sat, you've listened to these messages, has your soul been touched at all? Has there been any excitement in your heart? Or do the glories and the realities of heaven mean very little to you, maybe even nothing to you this evening? And you're quite happy to go merrily along in life's pathway into a Christless eternity that leads to hell itself. I trust that there has been some response in your inner man, that there's been some interest created about heaven, just enough to make an inquiry and to ask with some certainty in your heart and with some persuasion and earnestness, how can we know the way, just like Thomas asked it away back here. We're going to think about the road to heaven tonight, how we can know the way. And I want to set before you, first of all, as we look at the text, that we have authority here. Authority that is divine. And you want to mark the opening two words of our text. It said, Jesus saith. And I don't want you to go any further than that just for a moment or two. Because there is a ring of authority here. Of divine authority, intense authority. These are the words of the Son of God. And therefore they are stamped with authority. No man, with all the command of any language, ever came near to the authority of Jesus Christ. The world has never heard anything like it before, and has never heard anything like it since. He spoke as God. He's the God-man. God manifested in human flesh when he came into this world. And as he sits now at the table with his disciples, and he's just about to give answer to Thomas and to tell him the way to heaven, I want you to see that Jesus Christ is speaking with absolute and divine authority. You remember when he preached the memorable Sermon on the Mount in the earlier chapters of Matthew's Gospel 5, 6 and 7. You remember what happened at the end of that sermon? How the people responded? You remember how the people were astonished at his doctrine? The Sermon on the Mount is full of doctrine. It's full of teaching. The doctrines of Christ. And as the people listened undoubtedly, intently that day to Christ, they were absolutely amazed at the doctrine that he set before them. And it says he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. I tell you, my friends, when Jesus opened his mouth, he spoke with authority. When the officers, towards the end of his ministry, failed to arrest the Savior and they came empty-handed to the chief priests and the Pharisees, they declared, never man spake like this man. Nobody ever spoke like Jesus. No other human being. They felt the power of our Lord's words. That's my prayer. That you will feel the power of the words of Christ in your heart tonight. His words are plain and unmistakable. His words are arresting and impressive. His words are faithful and direct in warning and yet loving and tender in mercy. I'm glad when I come this evening to emphasize the road to heaven. I'm not coming in my authority. And I'm not coming in the church's authority. Though I believe what's written here and our church believes what's written here. But we're not coming in our authority. We are not coming to speak tonight, thus saith John Owen. And despite the great ability and the intellect that the man had and the great writings that he has left for you and I to study, we're not coming in his name tonight. Nor are we coming to speak, thus saith Charles Spurgeon. And if you've read anything about Spurgeon, whether it's his biography, autobiography, or you've read his sermons, I'm sure as a believer you've come to love Mr. Spurgeon. Born nearly 200 years ago. There's so much in common with him in what we believe and what the Bible teaches. But it's not in his name that we come. Not coming in the name of the Reverend David Park or in the name of Hebron Free Presbyterian Church. We have no authority at all. My friends, tonight we are coming in the authority of Jesus Christ. We're coming to say to you tonight, as we sing of the way to heaven, thus saith the Lord. Jesus is speaking. And when he speaks, we ought to sit up. We ought to listen. So there is authority that is divine. In our text, there's also the access that is declared. Very simply, we have it in the words of Christ when he says, I am the way. Thomas asks the question, how can we know the way? Jesus immediately answers, I am that way. And maybe you're asking the question. You've listened to the gospel many times. You've come to our services, particularly on a Sunday night. You've attended our missions. And tonight, you have some understanding of the gospel, what it means to be saved. Maybe you're asking a question like this. Preacher, how can I know the way to heaven? I've been brought to see my need. I've been brought to feel and sense my sin. And I know tonight I'm not right with God. And if I was to die, and the breath of my body was to leave me tonight, I'd be in hell forevermore. How can I know the way to heaven? Well, there is one way that has been opened for sinners to enter heaven. And Jesus is that way. Jesus Christ in his lifetime proclaimed this truth with consistency. He told men faithfully that there was a hell. We have often reminded you that he spoke in hell more than he did in heaven. Jesus was faithful in his day to the souls of men. He told them and warned them about hell. He warned them about the wrath of God to come. That sinners were condemned, that they were under the wrath, the anger of a holy God, a God who is angry against sin and sinners. But he also commanded them to flee from that wrath, to run with haste as fast as their feet could carry them from hell, from wrath to come to him. And he invited sinners to come unto himself. But he also declared with all authority that there was only one way. One way of reconciliation to God. One way of pardon. One way of salvation. One way of peace and forgiveness. One way to heaven. I am the way. Would you turn with me just for a moment to the third chapter of John's Gospel? We'll just take a little run through these chapters to show you that over and over again, the Lord emphasized this. There's only one way to heaven. There's not many ways. John chapter 3. And I want you to mark here the Savior in earnest conversation with Nicodemus. And John chapter 3 and verse 3. The Savior said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There is a kingdom. There is an eternal kingdom of God. And unless, according to the Savior, a man is born again and born of the Spirit, he's not going to see heaven. He's not going to see that kingdom, let alone be there. And how is a man born again? How is a man brought into the family of God? He's brought into the family of God through the cross. And that's why, as the Lord expanded his message with Nicodemus in verse 14 of John chapter 3, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And there he was setting before the mind of Nicodemus, though the cross would not happen for some 3 years, he was setting before him the manner of his death, that one day he was going to be lifted up upon the cross of Calvary, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. These are clear, unmistakable declarations of Christ. There's only one way to heaven, and it's Christ. It's believing in him, who he is, what he came to do. I want you to observe him in the next chapter as he declares this same way to the Samaritan woman, because you will know he meets this individual at Jacob's well. He enters into conversation with her, and he seeks to present to her the way of life, the way of salvation. And in the midst of the conversation, the subject of the Messiah arises. The Messiah who was the promised one of God, the anointed of God, who would come into the world in fulfillment to what the Old Testament said about the Messiah, to be the Redeemer, to be the Savior of men. And here in John chapter 4 and verse 26, Jesus says unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. The woman has just mentioned the Messiah. She said, we know that Messiah cometh. And Jesus said, I'm he. I'm the Messiah. I'm the way of salvation. That's what he was saying to her. In chapter 5, you want to watch him as he preaches to a Jewish audience. And in verse 24, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And what's he saying here? He's saying, I'm the way of salvation. There's no other way of life. There's no other way to heaven but by me, trusting in me. Again, discover him deliberate upon the same subject in chapter 7 and verses 37 and 38. Chapter 7 and verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, and he's evidently here speaking about a spiritual thirst, a longing in the soul, if any man thirst, let him come, where? Unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. View him in the temple. The very next chapter, chapter 8, verses 23 and 24. He says unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. He's presenting to these people again, I am the only way of salvation. I am the only way to heaven. In chapter 9, he declares, I am the light of the world. In chapter 10, he declares, I am the door. In chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. In chapter 12, he says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And in chapter 13, he says, he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. And I could go on and on in the other chapters of the Gospel of John, in the other Gospels, where the Savior speaks such words. And we have to say that the whole Bible is the given word of God. Jesus is the living word. The Bible is the written word. And the word of God from beginning to end is declaring the same fact. There's only one way to heaven. And Jesus Christ is the way. You understand that tonight? You will not get to heaven apart from him. And that brings me on to my final point tonight. Because I want you to see that in our text there is an admonition that is delivered. And Jesus says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way. I'm the way to heaven. How can we know the way? He's been speaking about the Father's house, the place of the many mansions. How can we know that way? I am the way. But he gives this warning, this admonition. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. How deluded are countless millions in this world? Because they try this way and they try the other way. But Christ issues a solemn warning here. And this text shuts out all other ways of salvation. Do you see that tonight? He not only declares, I am the way, but he's warning. With all gravity, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. In other words, to get to the Father in heaven, in the Father's house, in the place of the many mansions, you must go there by me, or not go there at all. Now his admonition excludes all other ways. Every conceivable way that men dream up. It excludes every other religion. A sinner will never get to heaven by trusting in some other religion. No matter how sincere the individual might be, no matter how good that religion makes them feel, no matter how much it appears to be right in their own eyes, they'll not get to heaven except through the true religion of the Bible and taking Jesus Christ as their Savior. The religion of Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormons, will never take a man to heaven. The religion of Charles Russell, who was the founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses, will never take a man to heaven. The religion of Roman Catholicism, which is a religion of works like so many religions in this world, will never take a man to heaven. The religion of the Orthodox Catholic Church will never take a man to heaven. We had just come back from Romania, and Romania is predominantly an Orthodox Catholic country. They're different from Rome. They do not recognize Rome. They do not recognize the Pope as the head of the church. But the system is very similar. And they have their worship of the saints and the worship of Mary and their good works religion. It'll never take a man to heaven. No other religion can save. It also excludes baptism. Water sprinkled on the brow of an infant child, or water that is received by immersion for an adult, can never deal with sin. It doesn't take away sin. It doesn't bring a man to heaven. I've been baptized, but it didn't save me. And nor can it save any man. It won't make you fit for heaven. Water cannot take away sin. There's no such thing as baptismal regeneration. Some people believe when I'm baptized, that's being born again, that's being saved. It's not what the Bible teaches. I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. I am the only way. See, Christianity is very exclusive when it comes to this matter of getting to heaven. It excludes church membership. You and I know people, and that's all that they can see. It's the church. It's membership of the church. And when you want to talk to them about true Christianity, when you want to talk to them about true salvation, all they will say to you is, well, I'm a member of the church. It doesn't matter what church you belong to, no matter how good you think that church might be, there's not a church in this world can take a man to heaven. It's excluded by the statement of Christ. It excludes good works. It avails nothing that a man is clever or learned or highly gifted or amicable or charitable or kind-hearted and loving. All this will not save his soul if he does not draw near to God through Christ's atonement. God is so holy that all men are guilty and debtors in his sight. Sin is so sinful that no mortal man can make satisfaction for it. There must be a ransom payer, a redeemer, between ourselves and God, or else we can never be saved. And the only way is Christ. Christ and him crucified. It also excludes earnestness. Let us beware of supposing that mere earnestness will take a man to heaven, though he knows nothing of Christ's saving work. Sincerity will never wipe away our sins. We must not pretend to be wiser than God. Christ has declared it, and Christ will stand to it. I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You may be known as the best person in this locality. It will not get you to heaven. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. One way. That's Christ. Very powerful illustration of that in the Old Testament, isn't there? When we think of the one door that was placed in the side of Noah's Ark. Only one way into the place of refuge and safety and security and salvation. And that was through the one door in the side of the Ark. There was no salvation outside going through that door and being safe and secure from the awful flood and judgment that came upon the old world. Jesus Christ is the one door. He's the only way to get to heaven. The only way to get into the place of safety and security and salvation. If ever you are to reach those pearly gates, tread in the streets of pure gold and enjoy the pleasures that are at the right hand of God and see Christ and live forever, you need to get to Christ. That's the message tonight. Heaven, the home of God's redeemed. We're thinking about how to get there. The road to heaven. Jesus says, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Have you taken that way? You see, my friends, it's the way of the cross that leads home. It's only by the sacrificial work of Christ when he came into this world to take our place and die for us that we can be saved. It's a way that you must take if you are to be safe for time and eternity. Let us pray. I thank God tonight for the simplicity of the gospel. It's given in such clear terms as our Savior gave it here. In this talk that he had with his disciples. And when the subject of him going away arose, and he speaks about heaven, the Father's house, and the question is asked, how can we know the way? Here it is in simple, clear, and defined terms. I am the way. Have you taken that way? It's essential because it's the only way. If you're not saved, may God give you grace. It's only grace that can save you. To come to him and trust in Christ. For thank God, he will save you. If you come to him. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. If you come to Christ, he's given this guarantee, this promise. All be saved. His grace is free. If we can help you, we're here after the service. Please come and talk with us. Almighty God and gracious Father, we return thanks for this service, for help given, for those that are here, for those listening in. We thank thee for the simple, clear, unmistakable words of Christ. As in very plain language, he sets before all of us tonight the way to heaven. I am the way. We praise thee that that's what he came to do. We thank thee that through the life that he lived and the death that he died, he opened up a way into the Father's house for all who come, for all who take him as Savior, trust in his redeeming work. Oh God, I want to thank thee tonight for our salvation, those of us that are saved. Thank thee for the day when God awakened us and showed us our sin, opened our eyes to see the Savior, the only Savior of man, the only way to heaven. But there are others and they haven't come that way as yet. Lord, be gracious to them tonight. Help them to see it, maybe in clearer terms than ever before, that Jesus is the way. And if they've been asking this old question of Thomas, how, may they come to see that Christ is that only way for Jesus' sake. Amen.